Uttering a word is like striking a note on the keyboard of the imagination. Our language can be seen as an ancient city, a maze of little streets and squares, old and new houses, and houses with additions from various periods. This surrounded by a myriad of new suburbs, with straight regular streets and uniform houses. Language is a labyrinth of paths. Approach it from one side and you know your way about. Approach it from the other and you are lost completely. The limits of my language mean the limits of my world. To imagine a language means to imagine a form of life.
That is Carl Stephen with Utterance and Inscription. Kia ora, Carl. How are you?
Kia ora. Good, thank you.
It's nice to chat to you this morning. Congratulations on all of human history on Microfiche, your brand new album, which just came out on Friday. How are you feeling?
Good, thanks. It's actually called All of Human Emotion.
Oh, emotion. I'm so sorry. I keep saying history because in my head that's where it goes, but it is All of Human Emotion.
All of human history would just be too ambitious, but, you know, all of human emotion is achievable.
We can do that. We can definitely manage that. How's it feeling having the album out in the world?
It's great. It's, really, I'm sort of delighted. And, yeah, Sun Return Records, who are the ones who actually, you know, put it out in the world, I'm very grateful to them for all their help with it, their amazing midwifery, whatever you'd call it.
It's a pretty special album that you've put together. I've been enjoying the tracks as they've been drip-fed to us over the last few months, particularly Utterance and Inscription, which came out not that long ago. That's a really special song. It's got a bit of Shay Fu on it, is that correct?
Yes, Shay Fu is doing the scratches, which is amazing. He's such a great artist and technician on the decks, and really fun to be working with him again on this. I'm amazed that this song has been the one that people have sort of connecting with. I mean, it was, to me, one of the more extremely random numbers. When I made it, I was just like, what is this? And then I contacted Shay and said, I've made this weird thing. Would you like to scratch on it? And he, really kindly agreed. And then it didn't have a beat at that stage. And he came back to me and said, like, I need some sort of pulse to like get into the rhythm of it and, you know, interact with it. And so I made a beat, and then in the end I liked the beat, and so the beat featured in it. So I think, you know, thanks to Shay for spotting its Achilles heel there.
Giving it a little push in the right direction.
Exactly.
It's a really, I think intriguing is a bit of a weird word maybe to use, but it is an intriguing track. I think every time I've heard it, even, you know, when I've just been driving around in my car and it's come on the radio, it really catches you, and it sort of moves you into a strange headspace, which I think this whole album manages to do. How would you describe this record for someone who hasn't listened to it yet? Or maybe a better question is, where were you when you were writing all of Human Emotion? Maybe emotionally, how was it feeling for you when you made this?
Well, I guess, as I think I spoke about with you last time we interviewed about a year ago or something, I mean, a lot of this stuff was made in kind of days off work, like quote-unquote mental health days, you know, where it's just like, ah, I can't do my, you know, actual screen composing work today. I'm feeling, you know, not there's a sort of some bad weather in my brain, and so I'm just gonna have to do random foolery for myself. And eventually, you know, that stuff piles up, and so it's very therapeutic for me to sort of try and find my way out of the labyrinth of my own mental state by making these sort of, you know, little maps to get out of the funk, as it were. So that's I guess the mental state usually, and then by the end of it I've made something, I'm feeling a bit better, but when I listen to what I've made, I'm usually very confused by that. I'm like, whoa, what even is this?
Is that where I was? I didn't realize.
Yeah, that's right. But it works. It does the trick. You
totally
know?
Yeah, I think what you're saying about it being almost like a little map, that's really interesting, because there is some sort of sense of other placeness to this album, which I think when I was listening to it, I did feel like I'd been taken out of time and space a little bit and sort of dropped somewhere new and a bit strange. And there is something kind of maybe connected to the title that's where my brain's going as well. Libraries have that feeling as well, where you kind of out of normal time and space, you're in a library, it's like a whole nother world. Tell us a wee bit about the title, Microfiche, very specific bit of, I guess, a tool you can use there. What's going on with that for you?
Well, I guess libraries, yeah, that's very insightful that you picked up on that. But I mean, my mother was a librarian. It was her first job when she immigrated to New Zealand. She worked at the university library, actually. And so I sort of grew up a little bit there, amidst all those sort of funny metal shelves and those funny little stool things with the wheels and and sort of seeing the shoes and bottom half of the legs of university students in the 1970s.
Yep. Some good flares.
Totally. And corduroy.
Yeah.
I just remember that sort of corduroy marching past. But
I'm sure the carpet's the same as well.
Yeah, exactly. The amazing carpet that you can give yourself burns on. Libraries are big things, and they're special places and kind of magical places too, in that we've sort of solved problems of distribution by creating these spaces of quite universal access and sharing and archiving, you know, knowledge and information and art in these places. Yeah, I find they are fascinating in that they look both backwards and forwards, you know, backwards in that they archive things and forwards in that perhaps they have this kind of utopian solution for the distribution of objects. So I guess, yeah, I find libraries kind of mysterious and wonderful. And yeah, and microfiche was, yeah, a library technology. And also, of course, it's a metaphor for kind of the way we mediate our world through technology, you know, all the time.
Do you think of this record as an archive in some ways of itself?
Well, definitely. I mean, it literally was, of course, like so many records, just sitting on a bunch of hard drives, you know. And if it wasn't for Zach at Sun Return, it probably would have stayed largely on those hard drives. So it is, Yeah, I mean, it's totally a collection of files is literally what it is.
Mm. It feels like there is something. I think the title is so evocative. You have kind of painted a very strong picture that gives people a really good, I guess, kickoff point for listening to this. How do you imagine people might listen to this? Because it's something I could see maybe working really well live, but maybe you don't see it like that. What's the sort of goal for that? Do you think this is an album you might try and perform at some point?
I would love to perform it live. Perhaps after all the
in a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, because I'm working day in and day out in the studio, and I'm very much a studio musician. Mm. When I'm working on my screen composing, I don't like to sort of jam something too crazy into that creative zone that I sort of like to and have to be in. Playing live is a big scary idea, but I think after COVID I'd like to do that, and I'd like to incorporate other musicians as well, so have less computers and more humans, and some acoustic instruments and stuff, and sort of smash down a few genre boundaries, in the live performance as well, and make it interesting for the people who come along.
Totally. Well, anyone who's ever seen, I guess, probably of all of your projects, maybe Queen Neptune's the closest to this in some ways. It's a really impressive sound to be in live and to watch happen. I can very much see this being a really special thing to experience. We're looking forward to when we can get back out there and do a little bit more of that more comfortably at the moment. What are some of the feelings you're left with after now having made this album and put it out? As you said, not something you were necessarily ever thinking of taking off the hard drives until you got that little push. How does it feel to have people be able to listen to this now?
Oh, I feel amazingly grateful just that people are sort of welcoming these creations, you know what I mean? I mean, as I said, largely the music is just me trying to make friends with my brain, and which at times can be, as everyone's brain perhaps, can be not that friendly. You give it some pet food and you pat it or whatever and it sort of calms down. It's a pleasant surprise when I share these things with other people and they're like, hey, I like this. It's always kind of disarming, to be honest.
I think we should listen to another track from it now, Carl. Thank you so much for speaking with us this morning about All of Human Emotion on Microfiche. If people wanted to get it, where's the best place for them to go?
Bandcamp is the best place, yeah. Nice. But it's available in all the usual slots.
But go on Bandcamp and spend some money because it's a very, very good album. We're going to listen to The Message. What is The Message, Carl?
Ooh, that's a crazy one about technology and the equivalent of Cold War paranoia, but brought into the contemporary world that's even more scary and, Skynet and my phone is watching me, all that stuff.
Fantastic. Well, let's get stuck into it. Have a lovely rest of your day and we'll see you soon.
Thank you. You too.
Message. At the tone, record your message.
The phone rings at night, illuminating the dresser in its light. It's for you. It's your phone.
Thank you.
Greece. Numbering each step. Counting every heartbeat. Down to zero. Intelligence out there, it's most likely that it's a machine.